Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
Oh, very, very
that
meta.
Actually sounds like a 30 for 30 that we could probably pitch.
Sorry, Barry Bonds. Sorry, what's his name? Bo Jackson. That's one of the best 30 for 30s.
Dude, I got to be honest. I was a little depressed when I saw that.
I was just going to say that.
I was home alone. It was like I saw it at like 3 in the morning. And it was like him with the arrows. So fucking sad, dude. Yeah. He's sharpening arrows. They go from footage to him climbing a baseball wall and making a catch.
But that move that was like Matrix.
Yeah.
Where he jumped off the side.
Yeah, they had like 9 different interviews of people commenting on him running up the side of the wall and coming back down. That's how crazy it was. And then cut to him being like, you know, I watched like a couple minutes of football and then, you know, I just can't take it. So I'll go down to my shed and start sharpening arrows. And I was sitting there like, what the fuck?
I would not want to be a deer near that man's house.
It would only be sadder if he was like, and then I go to my other shed where I'm making my homemade beef jerky.
Or it cuts to him with men made of beef jerky. He's playing football like those old electronics from the 70s. And he turns it on. It's like...
He's got an electronic jerky. Dude.
So he's playing like against the Sasquatch from Jack Link's beef jerky. And that's like the saddest thing ever. Like playing
just the two of them on foosball. For jerky, guys. It's just sad. No, but Bo was like one of those guys where I think we're so young that we forget how short of a period he was around.
I think
that was the craziest thing I took away from the 30 from 30. Because they like listed the years and I thought
it's like 4 years or something.
That's not possible.
Yeah, he barely played.
He barely. But because there was so little to cover in terms of like when the sports were on, they were on. Like ESPN really hadn't hit their stride yet. You know, when those moments happened, they were so well publicized and talked about that it felt like he was playing for so much longer than he was.
Yeah. I mean, and that you combine that with did you guys watch the cartoon when it was like
I love it with Wayne Gretzky,
Gretzky, Jordan, Bo Jackson.
Yo, I missed that.
Oh, my God.
YouTube it.
I remember the baseball card that was like Bono's Bart, and it was like Bono's Bart Simpson.
Oh, yes.
And when those two worlds combined, my fucking head exploded and my dick got hard.
Every guy hit puberty. Yeah. Whether you knew it
when
or not.
Bo knew Bart.
Bo knew Bart. That's a 30 for 30.
When
Bo knew Bart, 30 for 30.
But like that was crazy. That's how big he had gotten. Because the Simpsons at that point, I think, were maybe one of the biggest things.
But you know what's crazy about that scenario is, in retrospective, Wayne Gretzky, can we say probably best ever?
Sure.
Michael Jordan, I still say best ever.
Best ever.
Bo Jackson, friend of Wayne Gretzky, and Jordan. I mean, think about what happened in terms of like who would have been the best baseball player. You think of that era that could have replaced him in the cartoon.
Trot Nixon.
It was Terry Pendleton.
Paul Molitor.
It was the guy in the big league chew.
Oh,
I remember the drawings of the fattest guys in the world.
Right.
Who could clearly not. And then I saw, what was his name? Rod Beck. The cleanup guy.
Oh,
he looked like the dude on the package of the Big League Chew.
He really did. He looked like the villain in every major league movie.
Yosemite Sam, absolutely. Right? Rod Beck.
Yeah.
It was real life Yosemite Sam, right? He had the big.
Yeah, he had the stashy.
Yeah. You know what? When Bo knew Bart would be like, it would be a good 30 for 30, but it wouldn't get as high ratings as when Vladdy knew Blue.
When Vladdy knew Blue.
Wait.
Baloo from Tailspin.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Baloo. I was like, Blue? Was that like a Ukrainian?
No. The character from Old School.
That was
dies.
Their family over in the sickle. It was communist broken family. Like one went to America to play a ball. The other one stayed for Mother Russia. And it's the Olympics. Remember when the Russians. I thought you were talking about for a second.
Wow.
I'm like that.
No, it was no.
And is it 30?
It was just a simple Tailspin reference that got overshadowed.
Dude, I love Tailspin, bro.
What other obscure basketball players meeting cartoons could.
When Detlef Schrempf.
Hilarious.
I like this already.
Yeah, perfect. Met, hold on, Launchpad McQuack.
my God. Wow, you went deep into the roster for that one.
You gotta go deep.
You didn't even go Huey, Dewey, and Louie. I thought you went Launchpad McQuack.
Your true friends, I think, you figure out who they are by knowing which DuckTales character they go to. That's not one of the three main brothers.
The nephews. Yeah, I love DuckTales. Man, that was such a great
show.
Shows
that got you into comedy. Staples people say, like, in Living Color.
You know what's funny is I always say in Living Color right away, so I was going to say something else. Because for me, in Living Color, like, I was so jacked on that show that I went as Fire Marshal Bill for Halloween one time to a stadium party, like a public event, as a burn victim with a bald cap. And I dirtied up cotton balls and I glued them to the bald cap. And I was in like a police chief's uniform.
There's got
to
be a picture of this somewhere.
I swear to you. And I did the whole thing with the eye and the gums.
Oh, because you can do it. Yeah. Oh my! There it is. Yeah, there's the face.
I was like doing it. So this little guy is like skating on the ice. I'm like, I'm a 12-year-old burn victim. Am I? You know, it was. That was the highlight, because when I would misbehave as a kid, there was that great Sunday night lineup, you know, with The Simpsons and Living Color.
Sure.
And if I could only watch one thing for like the whole day, I always chose Living Color.
Oh my! Yeah. Did you say you're an ice rink?
Well, we had dresses. A stadium grow, like, so all these parties for kids, like a 12-year-old kid. It was a great way for, like, in the 90s for their parents, like, dump us somewhere.
Yeah.
That was safe, obviously, blocks right on our feet.
So you're dressed as Fire Marshal Bill, rolling, going to a skating rink on Halloween. Are people, like, thinking, like, wow, the Make-A-Wish kid just wanted to skate one more time?
Yeah, that's what it was. They're like, what a shitty Make-A-Wish.
So would you just roll out there and be like, let me show you something?
I would. I'd do the whole impression.
And then do fucking Oksana Baiul moves.
Oh, my God. Vera De Milo.
Vera De Milo.
Yeah.
I would have gone Victor Petranko, but whatever.
The Petrank. We all remember those, like, figure skating names because they're publicized for so many different reasons.
Yeah.
Well, like, it's because you hear nothing. We're about to be inundated with this with the the Sochi Olympics. Yeah. Is that these people will be the most famous people on the planet for 2 weeks.
People only know three things: Peekaboo Street, Sean White, and everyone who's skating for the Americans in ice skating.
Yeah.
They just know them. They love them. The ice dancing, they love the story.
Or the costumes.
What are some of the classic stories of, They get pretty intense, right? There's always
Oksana Baiul had a good one. She was like an orphan.
Kerrigan. Nancy Kerrigan.
Nancy and Tanya.
Well, that's
like
the best.
Biggest with Jeff Galooly.
Jeff Galooly.
Yeah, that was like, I probably just watched a lot of Leno monologues, and that's why it stuck with me.
That's the only time, by the way, Jeff Galooly will be famous.
No, yeah. We're slowly trying to make him famous through this podcast. By the way, I haven't been to the future, but it didn't work.
Yep. By the way, if you can go to aboutlastnightpodcast.com and order your Galooly t-shirts, order I'm with Galooly.
I'm pretty sure he has a Twitter. I'm pretty sure we can get him like up to like 1,000 Twitter followers.
It actually says I and there's a broken leg. Galooly.
Oh my God, dude.
But those are the names. It's like, remember, but what are some of the other ones? You were saying?
Brian Boitano.
Of course.
He didn't have a heartbreak story, though. He was like, came from like two WASPy parents, I think. I don't know all.
Yeah, he came from only the richest white people. He didn't stand a chance.
I don't Oksana Baiul was like, she lived in like a shack in Russia or Ukraine, and she ate only like Cinnamon Toast Crunch for dinner.
You say that like it's a bad thing.
I was going to say kids at home were like, that doesn't sound poor at all.
You know,
sounds awesome.
But it was a really old Cinnamon Toast Crunch. It was Cinnamon Toast Crunch that had been sitting in a bowl of milk for 3 days.
It had been sitting in a bomb shelter from the Cuban Missile Crisis. It's over. People now open these things. Were things that don't exist anymore. Like, we have so much of the Super Mario Brothers.
Wait, do that Russian guy as doing a commercial for Cinnamon Toast Crunch for Russian kids.
Hey, you like cinnamon? You like toast? Then you love crunch. Cinnamon toast, where there's three fat men who look like your grandma making your cereal that will rot your teeth.
It did kind of look like
Andrade. Because you don't need teeth to fight America.
Dude,
I'm sold.
I love that the slogan goes away from cereal, and that's how they sell it.
Well, it's like the Russian youths and like those like young like Ivan Drago,
right? It's just like that's all you're built for. Is you must grow up and beat America.
Beat American.
Whatever you do, if you wash windows, you wash windows better than American.
How amazing that he beat him on Russian soil.
That was the
best. You know who didn't fund that movie?
Who?
Russia. USSR. I'm like, that's so funny. I was like, because my buddies and I were talking about all the villains and stuff just as of late. And in America.
Well, because we don't really have like that go-to bad guy now anymore.
Just the Middle East. Just
yeah.
dark.
Yeah,
it's
just like.
It's like a, you know, the value scale in art class. Like after a certain point, they're just like, this is the people they fight on the show 24. Like everybody left of white.
Right. Just like that. Could be Mexican. Could be Middle Eastern. Yeah. Not quite sure. And then like, they don't even have to pick a real country anymore. They could just be like, I'm back to Vakistan. And you're like, oh yeah, fuck those
Americans
guys.
Don't know.
Yeah.
And they're like, that's probably somewhere.
Right.
Yeah, dude, literally when you just said that, I was like, God, I got to look at a globe more.
I was just going to say, your audience is Googling furiously.
How do you spell Uzbaka Dugakistan?
Uzbaka Gugakistan.
I don't know.
That's where you should say this podcast is out of. You know who's built for every villain now because it's the changing hue of their skin is Ben Kingsley. Because you can never tell where that guy is from.
Totally.
So he could always just be the villain.
He's like the male Carmen Sandiego.
Where in the world is he?
Is Ben Kingsley?
Well, yeah, because like...
Probably Bukaki.
Bukaki. Bukakistan.
All right.
It's just islands that were kind of into the ocean.
Don't go to Bukakistan. It rains all the time.
Yeah, oh, my God. This is acid rain? Smell like acid.
Sort of. I don't know. Whenever we bring a pineapple, it's kind of sweeter. I don't know. It's weird.
It's when it get wet here, it get wet.
Yo, so the Russian voice you just did, you did that on Arsenio, that character. But that, no, wait, was that Oleg or was
no,
that?
No,
that was just a character.
Yeah. I did it as because I think
Oleg's from Ukraine.
Yeah, And the thing is, I did it just as because people can never tell when they meet me that like the biggest thing is that they always say that I look smaller in person. Like I don't look as built.
Right.
I get the same thing.
And then I thought you even when I see you now, I was like, I remember you last time I saw you was stronger.
Yeah. That's why I'm drinking all this.
Brad and I are lifting.
Milk.
We're lifting right here though. So that's
lifting. You're doing it. I'm doing curls with coconut milk bottles.
Yo, that video real quick of Arnold talking about lifting weights is comparable to coming. You've seen it, right?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, from... It, oh, all right.
Brad, pull
I
it up.
Pull it up. This
is it
clip.
New?
No, dude.
No,
it's
this is
hilarious.
This
it's from
the
it's
documentary.
It's after he fucked the housekeeper. It's from a documentary about
called,
him.
Called Pumping Iron.
Pumping Iron.
Oh,
he's like,
then I'm sure I've seen it. When he's on the beach?
No, he's in the gym.
Oh, I don't know
this
one.
And he's wearing like a, you know, one of those unis.
I thought
unitards.
I'd seen all the Arnold docs.
Oh, dude.
This is like the quintessential.
I'm sorry. I don't even want to give it away, but anyway. Well, Brad pulls that up. All right, so Arsenio.
Yeah, I did it because my biggest thing is when people ask me about the show and they're like, what's the biggest like surprise?
Two Broke Girls,
about
by the way.
Two Broke Girls on
the
CBS.
The most popular show in the world.
It's huge. The show's great. It's been a blast. I mean, I love working on it. And
Season three
right now. Yeah. And the thing is, like, my biggest surprise is that people think I'm actually Ukrainian and 45. And then they meet me in life, and then they're like, because people always say, they're like, you know, you remind me of this guy on a show. And I'm like, is it Two Broke Girls? And they go, yes. And I said,
that's kind of a compliment,
me.
Right? That
it
they
is.
Think
no,
that you're actually
awesome.
A real person. Yeah.
It's so, I'm always like blown away by that, and I'm always thankful for that. And so, you know, I kind of had this idea. Well, I had another idea because this is the behind the scenes with Jonathan Kay.
Right.
And they kiboshed it. It was an idea that I was going to do that I can never do, so I'll just say it. I was going to come out as a guy.
Arvydas Sabonis.
I was going to come out in Arvydas Sabonis' mask. Because if there's anything that Arsenio's audience connects to, and it was going to be in a Lithuanian tie-dye basketball t-shirt that he always used to wear, and my hands were going to be bandaged like his always were, and I was going to do incredible low underhanded bounce passes.
By the way, that's how he opened his talk show in wherever he's from. I don't know where Sabonis is from, but it was called
Everybody.
He's from Lithuania.
So it was called Sabonis.
Late night opened, with Sabonis.
Yeah, and in the montage, he did one of those fucking
all of them
right to the camera.
It was just a highlight reel of him passing. Like
in the montage.
The montage.
And then the last one, he throws a ball that spins towards the camera
and it goes,
and the title. And
it freezes.
Sabonis.
That would be the most fun theme song to write, by the way.
Oh, my God.
For Sabonis?
During a montage of him making chess passes.
That's it. And then that's the show.
I feel like it sounds like the Dallas theme song almost.
Oh.
Ooh.
Yeah, but and it was from 88.
Yeah.
I don't care when he was current.
Right.
Wherever Lithuania, their stuff is 88 now.
Yeah. They're just getting there.
I was going to say, they're just about to get Fresh Prince.
Minds are going
to
be blown.
They don't know who this William Smith character is, but your kids are going to love him. It's Back to the Future style. Your kids are going to love him.
Well done, sir. Good pull. Wait, so who's the character that...
I just came out as me.
Okay.
And I came out in a fur hat.
Yeah, it was amazing.
And in all white suits.
You can look up, you can see it on YouTube, right?
Yeah. And go to Arsenio. They'll have clips of it. And it was just fun. And I brought him meat and I brought him Ukrainian vodka.
Okay.
And we just kind of talked because that was a.
And you're doing it. And you're doing it as Oleg?
Yeah. Well, okay. Not as Oleg, as but, me.
Right.
As me. And then I said I had a talk show in Ukraine. It was called Leno.
Yeah.
And I said, the guy, and he was on after me. And I said, his talk show was called Black Leno. And, because the thing is like, you know, you go on interviews and you get asked a lot of the similar questions and I already had known Arsenio from before. And so I just kind of pitched this idea and they were like, love it. So he didn't really know what he didn't know what I was going to do.
That's so great. He kind of seemed like that.
It was true. Like they had like said, they'd go, you know, they'd been like, I think what it was in a situation like that, they want to make sure that you're not just going to start doing something ridiculous, like, you know, and making him pimping him at his own show.
You don't want to make him look bad.
Yeah, and I never would. The thing was, I gave them a couple things that I might try, but then it was nice that when I got out there, Arsenio was just kind of like, let's do whatever, which was cool.
That's great.
How great is that? Because, you've been on the late night shows. I've been on a couple where it's just like, we need to know every word that you're going to say. These are your questions. These are your lead-ins.
I never liked that.
What are your answers going to be, just so we know if that'll fly or not? You're like, well, I don't know. Like, and when we do radio interviews on the road and the DJ goes like, all right, what five questions can I ask you to lead you into bits? I'm like, I don't know. How about we not make this like Byron Allen? How about we just like make it organic and like make it go?
Yeah. I hate that. That's actually something that really will make me switch a channel if I'm watching a talk show.
Sure.
And I feel that energy is happening. I was watching some the other night and it happened on TV and I was a really big fan of the guest. So I like kept watching, but it just was so painful because
it was so set up. If you can make it look like that's the other thing too, is if you can be, sometimes you can tell, I think probably, you know, we're more cognizant of that than others, but when you see an actor that's like, all right, this story was playing everything, but they make it seem kind of like, you know, oh shit, well, you know, even though if Leno's like, you know, tell me, like, I heard that you got a little riffraff in the bathroom when in Alaska. What happened with that? And it's like, yeah, you know, if the person goes right into it, like, yeah, it's a funny story, and you see.
Well, if you want to talk about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. If you choose to talk about that.
Right.
But sometimes there's just like, you know, the thing was with Johnny, because I'm such a huge Carson fan, I actually think a lot of the comics, I think producers now want to do that, but I think in the old day, that wasn't Johnny's style, but I feel like certain comics, obviously not everybody, felt more comfortable doing that way, and they wanted to do those bits.
Yeah.
So they let Johnny, so Johnny was a master at feeding them their material.
Absolutely.
Right? And just piping it in where it's like you could, I mean, because when you see like Rodney or you see some of those, really those great ones, even if the Rodney stuff was pre-planned, they're just free-flowing and having fun with it.
Yeah. Right. And you can understand that back in the day, because back in the day there was so much pressure on The Tonight Show that like this is going to make your career when you're doing it with Carson, to where, yeah, I would want to plan some shit out too, just to have that. But yeah, now it's like you could bomb on The Tonight Show and it doesn't really matter. Like, you know,
when was the last time you heard that somebody bombed on The Tonight Show?
You know what?
Rita Rudner?
Tell that to Vegas.
Tell that to Vegas.
Tell that to New York.
Starring Rita Rudner.
Tell that to Vegas. It's just about her bombing on The Tonight
Show. This performance of Tell That to Rudner will be played by Judith Light.
Rita Rudner's understudy.
Oh, wait, no. Tell That to Vegas. Is that what that was?
Tell That to Vegas.
All right. But it's a one act about Rita Rudner bombing on The Tonight Show.
That's all it is. It's a one act.
She shows the video of her bombing and watches it, and then it ends and she goes, god damn it. And then
what am I doing in front of you people?
Yeah, she has to.
Only two shows a night. She can't break that one.
No. I want to see a one act based on this Arnold Schwarzenegger video.
I'm so excited. Can I just be honest? There's a handful of viral videos that like you forget about over time.
Yeah.
Two Girls, One Cup. I take that back. I'll never forget about it.
Yeah, yeah.
God, how much I want to.
And everyone, even if you haven't seen it, you know what it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What it, you know.
I was actually, I, seriously, I'll just say this real quick about the show. The show is so, one of the things I love about Two Broke Girls is that they bring up things that people are really talking about. Like we had a Grindr episode and just like, you know, about.
That's awesome.
Oh, the app.
It was.
Dude, that's got to be a reason people are way, I mean, it's like South Park. Like they stay so current with shit.
It is so
that you're
current.
Like,
have you ever heard of Cronuts?
Yes, like donut
and croissants. Right. We had an episode about that in the first part of the season when they had just become big in New York. And so like there were things that were kind of letting the rest of the country, because the writers are, I mean, honestly, I credit them so much. They're so smart and so good at just kind of tapping into that in an organic way. And it was funny because I had never heard of, we had made a Honey Boo Boo joke, and I don't watch reality. I don't watch much TV.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I have never seen Honey Boo Boo, but I had watched some clips after it kind of happened.
Yeah.
And the Two Girls, One Cup, we were around, and there was a Two Girls, One Cup joke that got cut. And somebody, you never made it to air, somebody was around us and was like, I don't know what that is. And we all went,
D friend.
You don't know what that is.
I feel like, and also that joke, I mean, I can see why it would be cut, but also if it was in, I would be like,
well, it just wasn't new.
Good job.
You know what it was? Because we had a bunch of crumping jokes the thing was like, or what was it? It was twerking.
Yeah.
Okay. But then like it was on the Today Show and you're like, when they've done it on the Today Show,
it's
yesterday. It's not today.
Yeah. So funny. We can't do that hip. Well, so then like, did everyone just simultaneously want to be the person that showed them Two Girls, One Cup?
I don't think anybody wanted to stain their brain.
Right.
Which is what I feel like that's the term coined after watching that. Brain stain. You're never going to get that schnit out of your head.
I'm thinking about it right now.
Because I think you always remember who you lost your virginity to, and you will always remember who showed you Two Girls, One Cup. It's pretty much the same line.
That's awesome. Hopefully it wasn't the same person.
Or maybe that was the best night of your life.
Yeah, maybe they showed you that and then
Uncle
goes,
look, Danny.
He goes, this is what we're not doing tonight, kid.
All
lucky
right.
You.
Here is the, and hopefully this is the right one. I just picked the YouTube video. So here is Arnold Schwarzenegger in this world famous clip. Here we go.
Fine to me as coming is, you know, as having sex with a woman and coming. And so can you believe how much I am in heaven? I'm like getting the feeling of coming in the gym. I'm getting the feeling of coming at home. I'm getting the feeling of coming backstage when I pump up, when I pose out in front of 5,000 people. I get the same feeling. So I'm coming day and night.
Ladies and gentlemen,
the best thing about
Arnold Schwarzenegger is coming.
I love that drinking game where every time he says coming, you take a shot. But I also love the music, and I want to know who
who wrote it.
Who wrote that?
Same guy did the soundtrack for Two Girls, One Cup. Coincidentally,
it sounds fine to me as coming is, you know, as having sex with a woman.
This is like a Twilight Zone episode
for sure.
Yeah.
Can you believe how much I am in heaven? I'm like getting the feeling of coming in the gym. I'm getting the feeling of coming at home. I'm getting the feeling of coming backstage.
And then the music goes out just so you can hear him say coming over and over and over again.
I feel like even the composer, though, like he abandoned it.
Yeah, he started and then
he was like playing and then he was like, wait, what's this about? I'm out of here.
Halfway through.
Yeah, he left the piano.
Can you do an Arnold?
You know what? That's one of the ones that I don't really do, and I've never really tried because I felt like when we had to do impressions, you know, you and I, for stuff. There was always a guy who could do an Arnold, and who had like worked at it, and so it was like it's like.
And it's one of those impressions that everyone can do
a version
of Arnold. So you just let the guys that can master it. Okay, just do that. I mean, what I like about your impressions is that you do a lot of guys that other people don't do.
I was just gonna say you pride yourself. That's probably I'm assuming one reason you didn't try doing Arnold because you're like, all right, there's already enough of those going around.
That's true.
Who doesn't do? You know, Tom Hanks, Seth Rogen. I mean, dude, on the way to the Clippers game, it was maybe the game was great, secondary to the drive home. Because it was just, dude.
We had the best time,
dude. The best, dude. But like, some of these scenarios that you were putting, you're Seth Rogen and Tom Hanks and Jeff Bridges. And those are just three of the many. Are maybe three of the best impressions I've ever heard.
Oh, thank you.
Well, I'm not even trying to like pay you a compliment. That's just a fact.
We
man.
Were having such a good time. You know what was fun though? Can we just say this about the Clippers game to let people in? There was a family in front of us who was so into the game, and remember they kept like trying to do selfies with themselves at the game.
Yeah,
instead of just like enjoying this game,
right.
It was so weird. It was just like put down the phone and watch. They were like watching the oh, remember the father kept trying to take pictures of the cheerleaders.
Oh yeah,
creepy. Yeah. So we were trying to get
super
pictures of him.
Creepy.
It was an Asian dude, right? Who also had a lot of enthusiasm.
Oh, a lot.
He had Well, a fist straight up, like he was writing Falcor. He was like,
"Oh, I was, dude. I love your Atreyu video.
Oh shit,
Falcor reference. Well done.
Well, you know how the kid does that fucking fist pump. Yeah. The guy was doing that. Oh, he was doing both hands up. That's what he's doing a lot.
And then if his hands weren't on his camera, and I'm honestly, this guy. Every time the girls would take the court, he would pull out his camera and try to take photos of the girls cheerleading.
Oh my god,
it was creepy as shit.
It's like you want to tap really him on the shoulder and go, you know, there's this thing called Google.
Well, that's what we were saying. Like, I guess the internet connection is terrible at his house. I'm like, he must have one hell of a Zoom.
No kidding, right? And I think that's a problem overall, because like when you go to concerts, everyone takes out their phones and they're recording the concert. I'm like, you're at a fucking concert.
Yeah.
Like, enjoy it. Like, sit back and, like, be like, holy shit, this moment is happening in front of me. You don't need to, like, I've never had anyone show me a concert video from their phone. I've never watched one on my phone that I took. I've never done any of those things. I just was there and I enjoy it. I keep the ticket stubs. And then I look back and go, oh, yeah, that was fucking awesome.
Well, it's funny that he was trying to experience so much of the game through his phone, because it was not a boring game. It was a great game.
It was
incredible.
It was Clippers against two.
Clippers Spurs. Before Parker went out in the third.
Yeah.
And then they blew
it
open.
Yeah, but otherwise it was
But even still, because Crawford was hitting like crazy that night, it was a really good game.
Yeah, it was incredible.
Now, you're a huge NBA guy.
I love the NBA. Yeah. I'm a season ticket holder of the Clippers. And nice.
Is Tom Hanks a season ticket holder?
Wow! Come on, guys.
Tom, have you been to any games?
Well, sure, I have. My Tom Hanks is always just—he's got here late. He's running in the room. He's like, whoa, putting on the cans now. I'm putting on the cans.
Oh my god! Tom, who's your favorite player in the Clippers?
Wilson. He's the ball boy. He's the ball boy.
Oh my god.
I love the NBA, though. We love it, man.
I mean, what is it about the NBA that makes you go, like, that's my fucking sport?
I just think growing up in Chicago and having Michael Jordan when I was there.
Sure.
Just kind of being around that and the excitement, because I didn't really start watching basketball until high school, because my parents are not sports people at all.
Oh, for real?
Not at all. Nothing.
That's crazy, because you feel like usually some figure in the household goes, hey, you're going to watch this game. Yeah. Or
nothing.
Hey, son, this is Jeff Galooly. You're going to know who that is someday.
Yeah.
Nobody's doing that.
He's a hitman. He was the original Ultimate Fighter.
His opponents just didn't realize that they were in it.
No.
You see what he did? That's going to be a sport someday.
It was Ultimate Fighting Punked Edition.
Dude,
Galooly. You're on Ultimate Fighter, by the way.
That version of Punked is coming at some point. Yeah, where people like, they punk Galooly.
It's called Hunger Games Punked.
Wow.
You're dead, Punked. It just punked, and then the image just starts bleeding.
Yeah. Oh my god. So
I don't know what it was about, though, the NBA. You know, I really actually,
we grew up in the best era, obviously.
We did.
You know, it's like you 90s
NBA.
Ewing versus Olajuwon matchups.
Amazing.
When in the last 10 years can you name?
There's not even a center in the All-Star game this year.
I would take Ronnie Cicely versus fucking
anybody.
Yes, Sean Bradley.
Oh, there you go.
Sean Bradley, George Mirason.
Jesus, dude.
George Mirason, 7 foot seven. From the Washington Bullets before they were the Wizards.
Yeah, when it was dangerous.
And then starred in the hit comedy classic, My Giant, with Billy Crystal.
Hilarious.
Wasn't Mirason in Space Jam, too?
No, Mirason was not in Space
Bradley
Jam.
Just
Sean Bradley. Because they said, who?
You're thinking of the Green Monster.
Who is a center that will strike fear in the hearts of aliens and inspire all of our audiences?
Mormon missionary.
Obviously.
Yo, here's what I want to say about Space Jam real quick. I did this podcast for this kid named Sam McClain.
You were cheating on me?
Asshole.
Is this how you find out?
I know, right? Publicly?
Podcast cheating.
I feel like I'm on a Maury Povich episode.
And so, and he was black. And
always are.
And so he...
I love that. You just had to say that, but it didn't matter at all. It didn't matter at all.
You know who I just was right there? I was a buddy of mine in high school who would say shit like that when he would specify the race when it was not imperative to the story at all.
He'd be like,
dude, man, my friend Mike from Temple, dude, he was there was this group of pigeons at the park, and he ran up to these pigeons to scare them, and he's black, and he ran up to them, and they flipped out and fucking flew away.
Maybe he was being super racist, and he was implying how fast Mike was.
Maybe Mike wasn't running. Black at all,
or maybe
he was Asian, but he's black, like he's running like a black dude.
Or was he saying that he's black and pigeons are afraid of blacks and they flew away because they saw him running?
He's implying that pigeons are
black
racist.
People hate pigeons,
or the pigeons hate black people.
Sure.
There you go.
That's probably what it is.
That's probably what it was.
Pretty sure Spike Lee is going to make a documentary about that next year.
This is the worst Sherlock Holmes like plot line. Like they cut it like from the new Sherlock on BBC.
Oh my God, dude. Why would they cut it though?
Just so much. Tonight we're going to turn it on. We're like, oh my God. Ripped from the headlines.
No, but so we're on the show, we end up talking about Space Jam. And he tells me as a kid, when he was 4 and he saw it, he thought that he always wanted to be a basketball player and an astronaut. He said, this kid, Sam McClain. And he goes, because I thought that Space Jam was a documentary. And my I didn't know what to say. I want to start crying and hug. I was like, what the fuck? He's like, I thought if you got to be so good, you got to go to other planets and play teams and aliens. Like,
how old was he?
4, he said.
At the time,
4.
At the time, he was 37.
I was just to say 40.
Yeah,
he has a condition.
Oh my!
Somehow, I feel like they could actually pull that off in like North Korea. Like they actually
think it's real.
But I mean, yeah. The NBA has gotten so global. It's like, I think he was just, all right, yeah, if you're going to play Dirk Nowitzki, why can't you play the Monstars over on fucking
DeVito? We're trying to go to Mars.
You think that's
going to
happen?
I do.
Do you think there's anything there?
I mean, there's riverbeds. I mean, there are bacteria. There's something.
Mm-hmm.
What if that's where fucking like Tracy Chapman's hiding out?
And Tupac.
I'll throw him one more. Give me one more.
Biggie. I mean, that's the easy one.
I was going to say Ben Savage, but he's got a new show coming out.
I was going to say Jonathan Brandis, but...
Wow.
I was going to say Jimmy Hoffa, but whatever.
Listen, yeah, I think of you guys as more of a Brandis audience than a Jimmy Hoffa crowd.
Sequest?
Sequest, bro. I love that. I love Jonathan
Sequest?
Brandis because I love Sidekicks.
Sidekicks!
I love
that
movie. I swear.
Fuck, that was an awesome movie.
Dude, I love Ladybugs with Jonathan Brandis. I was a huge Brandis fan, honestly. Like when he actually offed himself, that was a sad day.
He didn't kill himself. It was terrible. He committed suicide, but how awesome was that Sidekicks movie? Talk about movies that inspired kids. The whole movie is about a kid who idolizes Chuck Norris and then gets to do karate with Chuck Norris.
In a competition.
Dude, he could have been, I think, had Leonardo DiCaprio's career if he had stuck it out, you know? Because he was a good actor as a kid.
You know who I actually think that would have been? River Phoenix.
Yeah.
River Phoenix, I mean, listen, Leo is amazing, but River Phoenix was... fucking amazing. When he was Indiana Jones.
Young Indiana Jones, Last Crusade. That opening scene is killer.
I wanted to see that rest of that movie play out with him.
Right.
Oh, dude.
Harrison Ford up and, you know.
Remember when they did the new, like they did, there was a TV show called Young Indiana Jones.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't believe it wasn't Harrison Ford.
That's right. Or River Phoenix.
Yeah. How was it?
Well, because he's 60. Well, yeah.
So I just wish we had corrected you and you said, no. I couldn't believe it was Harrison Ford.
I couldn't believe he didn't play young Indiana Jones.
By the way,
Pee Wee Herman.
By the way, that's where I don't believe it's, what is it? I can't believe it's not butter.
Yeah.
That they stole that from a line of commercials in Belgium, whereas I couldn't believe it's Harrison Ford. And he was... helping to like sell like some sort of whiskey or maybe a beef jerky.
It was a thing where he got paid like $1 million.
Yeah.
Do you do a Harrison Ford? Have you ever been asked?
I mean, I'm kind of just mumbling gravelly.
Get off my plane. Dad.
Yeah, Dad.
The Nazis.
Dad, I hate snakes, Dad.
Dad, the Nazis are coming. Yeah. The Nazis are coming down. Get off my plane. Get off my plane.
Dude, you got the nasally shit.
Yeah, he does. He goes. He's like
breathing through the nose.
He breathes through the nose. We're in clear and present danger.
Sean, Junior, we've got to get out of here right now.
Dad, we got to get out of here.
Junior.
The Nazis, they come through the door.
The Nazis aren't that bad, Junior.
Listen, Dad, you're obviously not seeing what they're doing.
I am seeing. You're not seeing what I'm doing. I'm in a film called Dragonheart coming out, and you still haven't talked to me about it.
I wish I did it that as quick.
You call him Dr. Jones, lady.
Wow.
Coming in with the short round.
I love the short round.
You're Jeff Bridges. I don't know. I set you up for the Hanks. There's some, you know, we can... You just got do the Jeff Bridges and
I mean, hey man, I'm kind of having a great time here with these guys, you know. And do me a favor, this whole show is brought to you by Hyundai Sonata. You gotta get a Hyundai Sonata, man. It's a great car.
Can you believe that he did R.I.P.D.?
He can't believe he did R.I.P.D. They're like, Tommy Lee Jones is not available, and neither is Will Smith.
Right, so we have to make R.I.P.D. It is Men in Black.
Well, he's playing more of the grifter kind of role.
Right.
He's playing like a true
That's great
grit.
That you can go into that guy.
Yeah. Yeah,
kind of the true grit kind of. He's like, oh, we're cops here from another dimension.
I've never tried that before.
Wait, what if it hadn't been... So Tommy Lee Jones is in that movie?
Tommy Lee Jones. Do you do a Tommy Lee Jones?
No.
Oh, shit.
I mean, but if I did, it would probably just be up here, very southern, just kind of, you know.
Yeah, outhouse. Oh, man.
Now, what if...
Outhouse, farmhouse, townhouse. I'm like, fuck. I don't know what the line is.
That was a great line.
From Fugitive.
Now, what if the RIPD was Jeff Bridges and Seth Rogen?
They'd be like, oh, you know, they would just smoke weed the whole time. Hey, listen, man, we got to get the... Seth, what are you doing over there, man? I do not know. I am just so fucking stoned. It's like amazing. It's like hilarious.
We're killing dead people.
We're killing... They're dead? Oh, whoa. What do you mean, whoa? It's the point of the movie, man. Come on.
Oh my God, dude!
His tweet about Bieber got like retweeted. Like, I think maybe the most popular retweet ever. Now,
what was it?
It was just all joking aside. Justin Bieber's a piece of shit.
Who said that?
Seth Rogen.
Oh,
and it got retweeted like 450,000 times or something.
Man, that I do love me some Seth Rogen.
Right?
I'm a huge Seth Rogen fan.
By the way, I could have listened to Rogen and Bridges. Just hang out for like you doing it. Like, I feel like you, there's gonna, I mean, I don't know if you're already doing this, but like, find an avenue to
I have them doing the remake of Tron, because I always do these like Seth Rogen remakes, and this is like a stand up bit I do. And I was trying to think of forever, and I was like, thank God Jeff Bridges beat Rogen to the Tron remake. Because then it would just be them sitting around looking at, like, it was like a, what is, how? I thought it had been a while. Like a laser light show. A Pink Floyd laser light show. Yeah. It's all light brights.
And they would turn on the magic of colored light.
Oh, my God, that bike is made of light, man. I mean.
Donnie.
Yeah, Donnie.
Did you do a Buscemi?
Oh, dude, I've never even tried. I mean,
Buscemi's one of those ones.
It's kind of that like high pitched voice.
Yeah, yeah.
It sounds like my bad, because I do Gandolfini, and it's like hard for me to separate like the Gandolfini.
What's Gandolfini sound like?
What the fuck are you talking about, eh? Oh, this is fucking ridiculous. I'm here with Brad. I'm here with Adam. What is happening, so fucking Chianti?
Oh, you got the breathing hard. Good job. Good pull. Like, I'm literally just catching up on The Sopranos right now.
Oh, great!
Started watching after Gandolfini died, and yeah, like you're fucking hitting it like right on, because he does breathe so hard.
Hey, Christopher, I'm gonna have a little bit of this. I'm gonna bite a bone.
Now, Mr. Gandolfini, I've heard you're pretty good. You play a lot of Atari with Paul Giamatti. Is that true?
All right.
You got to see the face, though.
Yeah, I know.
Paul Giamatti, to me, I love him. He looks like heavy Fire Marshal Bill. He doesn't have that upper lip. You know?
Yeah, he pulls it back.
All right.
And he's always exasperated.
Is that how you thought of it when you started doing the impression?
I thought
because you do also your face does transform for all of these.
Mm-hmm. I think what I did for Paul Giamatti, I didn't. The angle for me was I was watching, I think John Adam. Oh, you know what it was? I was watching Lincoln, and I was like,
oh, yeah,
that takes a lot of balls. And Daniel Lewis is my favorite actor of all time.
Sure.
That we didn't let an American play a president.
Right.
Like, that is crazy to me. And then I thought, well, who was the last guy we let play an American play? I go, oh, yeah, it was John Adams, was Paul Giamatti.
Yeah.
And he made him like a sack of poo.
Right.
He's like bitching, because that's the thing. Like, historically, that's pretty accurate. Like, you know, John Adams was very loyal. You know, he defended the British in the Boston Massacre.
Yeah.
And but he was not a very well-liked representative.
Well, of course, you're not telling us anything we don't already know. We're masters of history.
No, obviously. I'm just repeating stuff you guys told me on the way in.
Absolutely.
I'm taking stuff you guys read on Wikipedia today and just regurgitating as my own.
Hey, dude. Well, I do. You know what, what sucks, really, when you think about where people are getting the news from? Facebook, I feel like, for a while, like the news feed was where people... I mean, for people to get news from Twitter makes sense, because that's just where we're at. And, like, it's almost...
Well, CNN, the news outlets that we might normally go to...
Yeah.
All have Twitter feeds.
Yes. Right.
Well,
and,
also,
and we follow them all, and that's how we get it.
Well, people are reporting on certain things before even the news can get to it. You know, like that, like the Boston bombing thing. People were like tweeting about that before coverage even showed up.
Craziest thing. I was at CBS.
In pre-production for Sabonis.
I was doing a bombity. No, a bomb comedy. No, I was at a news station about to go on the air to do an interview.
Oh my God.
And it was so scary because I have so many friends that live in the Boston area.
Oh, Jesus.
And it was really terrifying.
And then they cut to that. Now, did they try to include you at all, or did
go
away?
No, it was CBS, and we didn't know what was happening. That's how early I was in that room.
Wow.
Like, I was in the holding pen, and they're like, we're going to take you in the next 5 minutes. Then all of a sudden, you know, the live feed is on in the holding pen. And they don't know what happened. There was just an explosion. And
worst. Details.
Yeah. And none. And they were like, and they kind of ran in. They're like, we're going to need to hold you for 5 minutes because, like, we don't know what happened. But, you know, you'll still go on. It's all good. And we were kind of like, oh, yeah, for sure. Like, but it didn't feel like 9/11. But I have to tell you, like, when we were in the room, we were like, this feels like it's something.
Yeah,
like, didn't feel like something just sort of happened and they caught it on tape. It was like, oh, no, this was like a planned thing. And I just remember being there with a friend and going like, oh, this is not going to go away. Like something, this is not an accident. We all just had a weird feeling collectively about it. And they came in like somebody bombed the Boston Marathon like right away. And we were like, we were shocked.
Yeah.
And
because that's also an event that you feel like is untouchable.
Yeah, well, it's you know what it is with the sad thing about it? It's a world event. Like,
sure.
People who are there from all over the world.
Yeah, they all gather. Right.
You know, and my thing is, and I don't know what the statistics are, but it was 3 hours after the first person crossed the finish line.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, I wonder if they did it, and I don't know this, statistically, Americans do not win the Boston.
No, it's all Kenyans.
No.
Yeah.
Well, it's foreigners. And
right.
I wondered if they planned it, if they didn't want to hurt other nations, because then they would have the attacks of those nations letting them. I don't know. That's the first thing that popped in my head.
Yeah,
I was like, why did they wait until that minute?
Man, I can't imagine just like being in the holding pen. Like,
oh, it was crazy.
Not knowing if you're going to go on. And then, like, I hope there wasn't some asshole producer that came up to you and going, all right, this is really tragic news. Can Seth Rogen read the news about the Boston bombing? And then you're like, fuck you.
That's not too far from, like, they're not a, because all they're thinking about is good TV.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, I was at CBS, thank God, which is our family.
Yeah.
And so they couldn't have been better. And they were like, you know what? This is a real thing. Like, we're going to be covering this all day. I'm like, of course you are.
Yeah.
You know, like, yes. And then they're like, come back. You know, don't. And I'm like, yeah, I'll be back. And then, like, so, you know, a month or two later, I came back into the news and it was
perfect.
Great. And
yeah.
But what if they were like, you know, come back another time? But if Vince Vaughn wants to stick around.
Yeah, hey, guys, we got something pretty serious going on here. Just jump in. Like, how fast can we get him into a shirt, into a collared shirt over a jacket, open spread with a chain? How fast can we get this?
Is that one of the first ones you started doing, Vince Vaughn?
No, I did like. I mean, when I was a kid, I did. You know, I did like ones that I called them the Branson, Missouri Six. I was like, you know,
Yakov Smirnoff.
Yeah, he wasn't there at the time.
Oh,
he was still on TV at the time.
Oh man, so this is early.
I did you know, like Bill Cosby and
I'm going to see how many of these are the ones that I did, because there was a time when I went to my friend's Christian summer camp. I was the only Jew there, and I went because
Christian summer camp.
Five best friends from high school were there, and it was like a water – you did water sports, jet ski, hang out, basketball all day, and then there was Jesus Christ stuff at night. And
that's
I was like, I
could
put up with a couple hours of Jesus talk and them trying to convert me to hang out with my friends and water ski all day.
Oh, yeah, to play sports with your friends?
So we did like – there was like a talent show thing, and for one of them I did this
technically, you were the martyr.
dude, by the way, the guy at the end,
preacher.
He's all sound about right. He tried to convert me at the end. He had one on one. He sits me down and he goes, "So, being Jewish, is that how's that going?" And I was like,
And I was, I'm seven. 17. Oh, no, so, yeah, 17. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm 17.
How old are you? In a 7-year-old body. Yeah, no, yeah.
You were Fred Savage movie. You know what?
You were Fred Savage movie. It's just a great sentence, Jonathan.
You were Fred Savage movie. You know what? By the way, they didn't. There wasn't water skiing. That was baptizing. You just didn't know it.
Yeah.
So like, you, yeah. You, it was. It was. And if you did it right, you'd be able to walk on water and get to water ski by the end of it.
A summer Christian camp where they don't even give you skis. They go, no, Jesus didn't have skis.
No, it's called, it's prophesizing. It's like turn you into the prophet.
That's hilarious.
So it's like a Rocky montage of like prophet training.
Yeah, yeah.
And they just have water, like a cup of water in front of you going, wine, and then like you do it, and then like at the beginning of the montage you like turn into soda and you're kind of disappointed in yourself, and then like at the big right at the end of the montage it's like boom, wine, what's up?
And now, you know what it is, it's like Mulan. It's like that let's get down to business, or wow. It's I'll make a man out of you by Donny Osmond.
Jesus. All right, drink 5 for the Mulan reference, drink 25 for the Donny Osmond.
Come on.
Shout out.
I'll sing it if we had the rights.
Wait, so here are the voices I did in the talent show.
I did
Mike Tyson.
Great.
Sean Conn. But these were all impressions. Only the Kermit the Frog was one that I started doing before I knew people like did that, because I was such a big Muppet fan. But then once I saw like the impressions people did, I just was mimicking those. But yeah. I could mimic really well.
Sure.
Hence why I was doing, you know, Friends impressions of Friends and teachers. But like I was like, oh, I don't know who is popular. All these people I would do too were popular at the time. So it was Mike Tyson, Sean Connery, Bill Clinton, Kermit the Frog, Splinter,
Ross Perot.
Hilarious.
He's naming popular.
I might have. And those,
yeah, well, yeah, well, yeah, Splinter, five, which is still an impression,
yeah, Splinter,
you do.
Oh, and then Cosby,
cool.
Yeah.
But and maybe a Regis, but so I did this thing where the talent show was me behind a thing, and it was all these my buddies would like try to like I would make up this whole play with all these guys, and they would just come out and like have to act what I was saying.
Oh,
to
that's
each other,
fun.
And like,
oh,
and
cool.
Like, you know, lip sync it.
Wait, it's 17?
Yeah.
See, when I was a kid, when I started doing Cosby, I swear I was probably like 5 or 6.
Jesus.
And it was
that's fun. By the way, you're the best kid ever. Your parents are like, thank God we had this guy.
Well, right. You know, it's funny. My mother, when she used to take me to work, and I would just go around this little white kid like talking about Jell-O, and they loved her. You know, the employees, like, they thought it was so funny.
Like, so you're just like going in the break room, like, hey, no, don't care where she has the pudding pop.
I swear to you.
Whoa.
Give me that Cosby one more time.
Oh, it's the worst Cosby ever.
No, no, but I love that you tried. See, here's the thing about Brad.
I love it.
He's got 2 good impressions.
Yes.
Arnold.
Yes. And
Shakira.
I mean, I got to hear Shakira.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Let's set this up. This is a talk show hosted by, who's one we haven't done yet?
Letterman.
Perfect. Letterman, okay. Interviewing Shakira.
Okay, so who's Letterman?
Jonathan.
Oh, okay. I won't do Letterman. Do you do Letterman? I just go,
that pretty much works.
It's pretty good.
Now, ladies and gentlemen.
That's great.
Yeah, that's a good Letterman.
All right, Jeff Bridges hosting the show.
Listen, man, what time is it? Fourth meal time? Yeah, we have my guest on the show tonight, Shakira. Shakira, man, the hips. I dig them, man. They don't lie.
I'm on tonight, and my hips don't lie. La, 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 la.
That is dead
bad.
On.
Yeah?
Shut up.
La, 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 la.
I have to do the arms above my head. I have to.
I have to be honest with you. I think that it sounds closer than you think it does.
By the way, I love that in the Jeff Bridges talk show, he's so impressed by the Shakira impression that he himself changes his voice to you going, that's dead on.
Whoa, I am now stone sober.
It breaks him out of
Jeff Bridges. That's his kryptonite, is a spot on Shakira impression.
It just looks like he was faking the entire time.
Jeff, you weren't stoned? I mean, hey.
Wait, do it again.
Whoa.
Oh,
damn it.
You just got Shakira.
Oh, my God, dude. That's so funny.
Yeah, I mean, that's see, so here's funny. The thing. It's kind of like karaoke. There's only two people you want to see at karaoke. people that can sing just ridiculously well and they're fucking killing it. Or you want someone who can sing poorly, but they're selling their shit.
Somebody's singing extreme more than words in a suit and tie straight from the office.
I love
it. He's going home to
comes in like sort of more than words on the harmony.
Oh,
you didn't even see him sitting there the whole time, and he gets up with the other
mic. Because he was crying in his nachos. But he's like, fuck it, man. I got to help my buddy out.
So these nachos just came. Can you sing the first part? I love it. But let me tell you this about impressions, and you know this. We've talked about this. There are people who do impressions that I don't think is exact sound alike, but their take is so funny.
Will Ferrell is a great
example. Yeah. Yeah, it's hysterical.
No, you're right. Yeah, the take. Yeah.
And so I don't think it always needs to, it doesn't, like, when I do the impression, like, when I do them on stage, I don't try to, like, go up there and do, like, a sound alike for my 45 or whatever I do.
Sure.
I try to, like, have jokes.
Is it 45? That's fucking great. Do you hit them all in the act?
No. I do 45 minutes.
Oh, right.
When I do my hour or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But I probably do, like, 30 impressions or something. And I try to learn, like, the Giamatti one. I'm doing now a lot more.
Right.
Like, when you're doing impression, what's your process? Do you try to focus on a physical thing, a voice inflection, or do you just see if you can do it?
I just see if I can do it. I mean, the Jeff Bridges thing, I don't know that if I told this. I learned that to teach a friend. My friend was trying to audition for SNL, and we were trying to just, like, go through people who he'd sound like, and he did Jeff Bridges, but it didn't really sound like him. And so I literally, like, listened to a Hyundai Sonata commercial, and I had it within, like, 30 seconds, I think. Like, I learned it to teach him to do it.
Wow.
This was like a year or two ago when I was already on the show. And, you know, he's a fantastic writer, super funny guy. And it was just one of these things where I was like,
no, you're not getting the thing. He's kind of holding on to it, man.
And then I was like, just do what I'm doing and you'll do it.
Right. You can hear, I mean, for me, like, any ones I can do, I feel like I can just hear myself saying, like, I can hear it in my head. So when it comes out, I feel like it's almost... I can just hear it, and like, it's not something I have to try to think about. You just, like, right? You just start.
Some of them, though, that I'm trying to think of who I've had to, like, learn, but there's I'm trying to learn to, like, tape on my phone now.
Yeah.
To learn ones that I couldn't learn right away. But yeah, like Liam Neeson, like all the ones that are like of men who have, who have voices that sound like that they sailed a ship to get here. Like they spent days on the open water.
Right.
That's something that just falls right in my wheelhouse. But some of them, I've really had to like listen to myself back and forth.
Are you trying to learn Liam Neeson right now?
No.
Or is that when you have?
That's when I have, but I'm trying to think of like who, because we were talking about there's some.
Yeah.
Like even like a Robert Downey Jr. that we talked about last time I was on the program.
Yeah.
That's one that I just like I kind of didn't avoid for a while, but it was one that he didn't just like come to me right away. And so but then he just kept making movies.
Yeah.
Which was great, which was like good kind of like fodder for stuff.
Yeah, and it gives you more options. You might not do Iron Man Downey Jr., but you could do Due Date. Robert
something
because
that
something.
Guy like, is going to be around. It's like, well, right. I can't believe that no one's done like a Zach Galifianakis.
Sure. Or like, Zac Efron, but there's not really anything to impersonate.
You know what?
All right. I actually have a Zac Efron.
Whoa.
Thank you.
I wish that was
cocaine joke, everyone.
I wish that was the end of the episode.
but one thing I like about your impressions is when they're like, not only are you good at it, but you really focus on. How can I make the joke itself funny and the impression like an added bonus?
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I respect about impressionists.
Well, you're a funny dude, not just an impressionist. I think people who are just impressionists, there's like, I got to find a way to do this.
Yeah, I mean, I remember one time. I remember one time there was a guy who was doing impressions and he was doing a guest spot for me, and literally his jokes, quote unquote jokes, were just like, "Hey, ladies and gentlemen, here's Adam Sandler, happity hoppity," and then that's all he fucking. Just hold for applause.
In my defense, that was my second week of stand-up, and Adam Sandler had just come out with Anger Management.
But you had actually just heard Jimmy Fallon do it.
Yeah.
And that's where you took it from.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. When you do like those little things, though, that's the tough thing about those. When you hear an impression like, you know, I've never seen Jimmy Fallon do stand-up, but I've seen him do so many incredible impressions on SNL and on that you just know that you're and obviously on late night, but you just know that like somebody's just ripping that off. Like when people who don't have their own material behind it, they're just doing a voice match of something they saw on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're taking something, the hard work that like Jimmy Fallon has put in, and they're like trying to make money off that.
Yeah.
And they have no joke for it. And you're just like, I'm like, you're clearly just doing Jimmy Fallon's version of Adam Sandler.
Right. Yeah. And because for impressions, because a celebrity is a public figure, I mean, it's tough to be like that. That impression is this person, like, unless, you know what I mean? Because like even people that do iconic impressions, other comics can do it, and you could always do that thing where you just pause at the end of it, and the audience like, all right, fine, I guess we have to fucking clap now.
But you know what though? Some it's funny enough that is enough for a lot of audiences. The sound alike is a magic trick enough.
It is
right,
and the thing that they, you know, I think that that just impresses people on the road. I mean, like, I remember when I was first trying out material, like, I mean, this was like maybe a year and a half ago, I would not have something for Jeff Bridges, and I would just start talking like him.
Yeah.
And then people I swear, it brought the house.
Well, dude, look
down
at me, man. It's so good that you just want to. What's crazy about that is it's as close as a lot of people will ever get to it. And you literally, when you talk like a man, I forget you're sitting there, no joke. It's just like, listening to the voice. So that's as close for those people as they'll ever get to him.
Oh, thank you.
And so when they're listening to you talk, they feel like they're in the room with him. That's a crazy thing effect to have on people.
Well, impressionists are always kind of, you know, like, there's an old amazing video of Jim Carrey doing facial impressions.
Yeah, it's bananas.
Yeah, was that his SNL audition?
No. It was just him doing stand-up, and it is bananas.
Yeah, because that dude committed.
He looks just like those people, and it's something that I think it people recognize it as, like, maybe, like, there's a guy at work who tells jokes around a water cooler.
Mm-hmm.
But to sound like somebody or to like look like somebody to do that thing that he kept doing, I mean, people just can't do that. And I think the applause is like, oh, that's like, I at least like that is worth an applause.
Right. That's amazing. Yeah. Like I know I think I remember the video you're talking about now when he busts out Sammy Davis Jr.
Oh, was that one of them?
And he does the one eye cross. And
the
James Dean
blows me away. Because I'm like, James Dean just had that face, but there's like a thing where he just turns into James Dean, and you're going, what the?
He turns away, and then when he turns back, his eyes are all beady, just like James Dean. And you're like, holy fuck. Like, that's facial impression.
Yeah.
That is ridiculous.
I've never seen that before.
I don't think I've ever seen it since.
Have you ever used any of your voices to prank call any?
Oh man, when I was a kid, we did, but it was
5-year-old Cosby.
You see,
calling up fucking
calling
Little Caesars.
Jello City.
Jello City?
That's where the Jello factory is.
Did that
Did that place exist?
Wait, are you kidding?
No, I'm kidding right now.
Oh fuck.
I'm so gullible.
He's the mayor of Jello City. I forgot my keys. Routine.
That's the show to pitch.
So it's like the kids' version of Mad Men or Magic City? Jello City. Starring Bill Cosby.
It looks like something from Candyland. But no, I they would call up and I would do like different voices, and then we would hang up. A lot of times pizza places. A lot of pizza places.
Well, they always answer.
Gots to. They do. Yeah. They'll take anything.
Right.
Would you be opposed to doing one right now?
We can do one.
Would you?
Who are we calling?
There's a Thai place I order from pretty often, and I would love to call them and, I don't know, maybe do Bridges or...
Jeff Bridges, man. I got the Thai food. Right.
Do we have the technology to do this on this podcast?
Yeah, because we'll have him hold the phone up to the the speaker.
Fuck yeah. All right,
I'm going to give you the number. Ready?
Yeah.
Pause. We'll edit this out.
Hold on. Yeah.
Wait, as 5-year-old Cosby, like, what would you, when your parents heard you doing it, were they?
They thought it was the funny. Is this edited out right now or no?
No, we're still going.
Oh, okay.
I was going to cut it, but.
I was going to say that I did Peter Lorre, which was, I think, the first impression. I forgot about that, you know, from Casablanca.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And I remember doing that as a kid, and my father, because we watch a lot of classic movies in my house, so I would be this, like, little.
Dude, that's why you have such a thirst for film.
And, I love it. I've seen it, the old stuff. I love it as much as the new stuff, and I've seen, you know. God, I've watched some of those films. Like Casablanca, I don't know how many times I've seen that. But
dude, I still got to see. My mom gives me so much shit for not seeing that. When I got my wisdom teeth pulled, I got Shanghai Nights, Love and Basketball, and Flight of the Navigator. And she's like, you still haven't seen The Godfather. I'm like, have you seen Jackie Chan in the Midwest?
I own it.
What?
Shanghai Nights.
Do you really?
Not kidding you right now.
This is why we're friends, man.
It's such a good film. I saw in the theaters.
I saw in the theaters twice.
I love Shanghai Noon. I saw it twice in the theaters. Yeah, I saw that. And then the other one, would you? Oh, Flight of the Navigator. I own it.
Yeah, sure.
Come on, man. I mean,
but Peter Lorre, I think, was even creepier because he's like this little guy in he's amazing in Casablanca. He's kind of the catalyst of the story.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you know, Peter Lorre was a Hungarian actor who always played guilty. Like, that was his kind of thing. He right. was in Maltese Falcon. He was, he played a child molester in M. I mean, there's like a lot of his, you know, he was around forever. And I think to see this like 4-year-old kid being like, yes, oh no, don't call the cops, Rick. You have to hide me, Rick. You have to hide me. Like this little kid running around the house. I think my parents were like, that is so freaky.
Right.
But they like nurtured it.
That's awesome because they could have put you in a fucking insane asylum.
Yes,
yeah,
probably deserved it,
or even just said, "Don't do that. You're going to embarrass yourself or us or whatever."
Yeah, that's my father thought it was the funniest thing in the world.
That's great. That is huge, man.
Yeah,
there's a giant chance that you. I mean, kids obviously rebel against stuff the parents say don't do, but. Like, my mom was like, don't double fist Pop-Tarts. And I was like, well, then fucking you and dad should have worked out. But then, no, I'm just kidding. But like, if they had said.
Yeah, just kidding. They didn't work out.
Everything. Yeah, everything.
But if they, like, if they had said, like, yeah, it was embarrassing or don't do that, you probably would have gotten that into your head. Like, all right, that's not something. Like, and then stop doing that. And you might not be on this podcast right now.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, my parents really, I credit them with everything in the beginning because, you know, they really took me to shows and kind of exposed me to everything.
What shows?
When I was Peep Show. No, when I went to, you know, my mother took me to Cats, which I didn't like. Like, I had the attention span of a fruit fly.
Right.
But, you know.
Good reference.
And I was like, man, I hope there's like a kitty litter scene or something. But it just didn't, like, it was something
somebody getting some pussy in the show?
Yeah, exactly. What kind of cats is these, moms? You can't smoke in here, little boy. Says you.
You're like fucking says baby. You're like baby Herman from Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
I'm like baby the penguin. But it was, you know, it was her kind of doing that. My father always showing me the classics, like all the, you know, Wolfman with Lon Chaney.
Yeah.
Talk about Impressionist, Lon Chaney.
Oh my God. Man,
just the characters. Yeah.
Incredible. And, you know, but all the stuff like Abbott and Costello, all the old radio programs. I'd heard Who's On First. I mean, I was telling everybody about that.
You know,
Alan Sherman.
Yeah.
All the old records. My father actually got me, and I still have it framed in my room. The original National Lampoon cast recording of Saturday Night Live from 75.
No shit.
And it's like, and he got me like all these old records and stuff. And you know,
and listening to that shit, like you're able to like, it's much more. You know, I don't know. You're creating that whole world. You're, you know, getting to use your imagination to be like, I wonder what that was like. It's much more mysterious and has a lot more.
There was a radio program, a serial, which, you know, it means that there were like episodes, which is what they used to have in the movie houses, you know, like Zorro and stuff like that and Lone Ranger. Well, there was a serial for children that was on once a week or something called The Cinnamon Bear. And it was
Yeah, dude. My dad got me into that shit,
bro. We listened to that every year. Chuck Shaden, and those were the days.
Dude, it was so dope.
He did this radio program, and then we kind of started hearing the chapters, and we listened to it every single year. And it was just about the two kids and this trying to get this with this bear trying to save Christmas, and it was the imagination. Always, we always listened to that stuff, and so we were always kind of being pushed to think and to kind of use our imagination all the time. Dude, and so I definitely credit my father for that.
Yeah,
it's huge.
Yeah, because like now kids don't have that because everything is just there.
The iPad is there.
Yeah, it's just there.
I saw this.
There's no
girl.
Wondering and using your imagination. Well, I mean, using the imagination still, but I mean.
Come on.
Yeah.
No, you just type into Google and it's there.
Because there's no like, I wonder what that looks like, or I wonder what that. What was that song? You know, and like, how did that Rick Astley song go?
Shazam it! but you know, I saw this little girl on the plane who couldn't, her feet couldn't touch the ground. She looked like she was like old enough to have
like me.
Yeah, it was Brad.
Touch the
in a tutu.
It was Brad. We'll do it that way. So Brad was on a plane.
Yeah, Brad competes in toddlers and tiaras competitions.
I do. I clean up.
Bro.
When I shave,
that's
I
actually
hot
a great movie.
Fuck.
That's a great movie. Like Miss Congeniality with you.
Oh my!
For little people.
That
would be Little Miss Congeniality.
Oh my God! And
that
then like
legend.
So what? Like I'm Sandra Bullock.
her cousin or something.
Yeah, Shatner will do it, right?
Come on, yeah.
I love that guy.
He's the best. Should remake The Cinnamon Bear with Nicolas Cage.
Oh, it's just, oh my, this was a bad tape, Dad. He was just breathing heavy the whole time.
You saw this girl on the plane.
I saw this girl on the plane, and her feet couldn't touch the ground. I mean, she was like 1 or 2 years old. She was so little, and she was in this cute little dress, and there's the cute little hair. She had a giant iPad on her lap, playing with it. And I just remember thinking, like, what's going on with your life right now? I'm like, you're happy because you're playing this game, but there's no imagination. You're not
interacting.
No, it was a game like the way that adults play Bejeweled.
Right. She's like mastering it.
No, but people play Bejeweled for the most part because they're dead inside. But I'm saying I just felt bad. And I play Bejeweled, by the way.
Yeah.
And I'm dead inside. I'm dead inside. Dad.
Dad.
We're just blaming.
Well, I was trying to go back into Harrison Ford yelling at Connery for playing Bejeweled.
Dad was hard, Dad.
Junior, it's a fun game. Maybe if you'd get off your goddamn snake rant and play some Bejeweled with me.
Maybe if you paid 1 ounce of attention to me, Dad.
Somebody's got to stop these Nazis.
Well, it won't be us, Dad.
If you can't see, John and I, as Ford and Connery, just went into a fucking synchronized Rick roll. Sean Connery and Harrison Ford
are Rick rolled.
Only way that movie could have been any better.
U.S. Harrison Ford getting angry about being Rickrolled is the best thing I've ever seen.
I said about Harrison Ford, I was like, how did he not get snakes on a plane? There's only two things I know about Harrison Ford. I hate snakes. And get off my plane.
And when he finally gets all the snakes off the plane, song plays? Yeah. Oh. He goes, yeah. Good job, Junior.
Good job, Dad.
I told these people that you were the person that could save them. Because what do you hate?
I hate snakes. I hate snakes. Get off my plane. You know what? Harrison Ford is the pushiest flight attendant when you land.
So funny.
That would be such a funny God.
Why doesn't he do SNL, man?
Oh, because you know what,
he would crush it.
Did you watch SNL with Jonah Hill?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was great.
It was like Jonah Hill is one of those guys where it's easy to hate on him just because he got success young, and then like he's one of the Apatow crew, so he gets put on the movies. But then you see him,
that is good.
But then you see him in Moneyball, you see him in and you see him like doing the roast, and then doing Saturday Night Live, and you're like, fuck, you're talented. I can't hate on you.
You know what?
You're good.
And the fact that they got Leo.
Oh, for the monologue.
That was huge.
Huge.
He's
they
so fucking
never,
cool.
He's the best. And you know,
you can tell they're fucking buddies.
Such good
and
bros.
Like, dude, when he nuzzled his face next to Jonah for the Titanic thing, and it was just like, he was cool. He didn't try to steal the moment. Not trying to be funny, but read the cue cards, wasn't an idiot and like blatantly reading the cue cards, was just like,
what are you doing?
Having a conversation.
He was so, and you know what? He's one of those, like, they have white whales on that show that they just can't get.
Mm-hmm.
Harrison Ford's one of them.
Sure.
Leo's one of them. A lot of them are older, like Tom Cruise.
Denzel.
Oh, he'd be great. They don't do him. All right. Okay. I have a terrible Denzel.
My client, Andrew Beckett, does not have the HIV.
Wow. We should do that. I was going.
This Friday. Tom Hanks.
AIDS. Philadelphia 2. Just go AIDS.
Philadelphia 2 AIDS. My client, Andrew Beckett, does not have the AIDS virus again.
Ow. Just coughing.
It's Hanks. Ow.
I just got sick. Wow. He just Rickrolls a movie.
Yo, by the way, hearing all of your voices getting Rickrolled and then getting surprised by it while they're like doing in their trailers.
In their Oscar winning performance. Oh my God.
Oh, I need that.
Giamatti
song.
Would be the only one who would not enjoy.
Turn that shit on. Rick Astley, I will bury you and your children. No! No! Paul Giamatti just walks off set.
Rogan would love it.
Rogan would know what was happening.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Oh my God! All right, we need to call this Thai restaurant. Can we do this?
And oh yeah, let's do this.
Close out on this.
Can we Rickroll the Thai restaurant
at the end? That's obviously how we're ending this.
They're gonna know it's my number.
Can you *69 or do you want to use my phone?
I'll use your phone.
Yeah. I have no problem prank calling this place because I've given them thousands of dollars of business in the last month.
I mean, hey, man.
If you're going to do it, Thai players. I'll just a quick pause.
Hey, this is Adam Ray.
Ordering my usual.
Oh, this is Adam Ray ordering the usual, man.
I wonder if you should even just, we'll order and then we'll just hang up and I'll call back and maybe order some actual soup.
Wait, no, what do you want to order?
Oh, really?
Yeah, just whatever you want to order, I'll do it.
Okay.
Tell me about the soup, man.
But then we'll have to, like, give him the card and all that stuff, and it'll be a big production.
Because
I want it to end. We're going to end with Rick rolling them.
Okay.
And then we're just going to hang up. And then I'll call back and be like, sorry.
Sorry, Jeff Bridges got my fucking phone.
Can I get some coconut soup?
Oh, I'll tip you guys big.
Yeah, right?
All right, here we go.
It's just me in the background. Oh, what happened, Donnie? I thought we were rolling.
All right, here we go. Ready?
Wait, so you're going to hand him?
Yeah. Hold up close to you. Maybe you turn up on the side a little bit more.
Yes, I got your number from a friend of mine, and I was looking for takeout, but what are some of the house specialties?
My house?
You got soup? I'm kind of feeling a little bit under the weather. I'm kind of a bowler. What kind of soup do you have?
Spicy seafood soup, coconut soup.
What's in the spicy soup? Doctor told me not to, got a crazy heart, I do. It's not great for the heart. What's in the other? What's in the coconut soup?
It's about soup. Wonton soup.
Oh, so it's kind of limited. What would you recommend? I've never eaten here before, but a friend was just raving about it the other day, man, and I said, I got to try it. He wouldn't stop talking about it.
You can look the menu in the website.
My Wi-Fi is down. I forgot to pay the bill. The soup. What's the website?
The fucking confusion that's happening on the other end of that phone right now.
We just got a Rick Walled.
Dude, can you imagine just hearing that song everywhere blasting into your ear as you're trying to educate somebody about the soups?
Oh, my God. I did not think it was going to go that well.
Jonathan, I have not
pranked someone in a long time.
That was fucking, dude, killed it, man.
Now we got to go in there and eat. I feel terrible.
Dude, I give them plenty of business, man. Coconut soup has been stirred up.
What's the place? We got to plug the place now.
Yeah. It's Tid Lam Thai Cuisine. It's actually run by Arvita Sabonis.
And Detlef Schrem. Try the Detlef Schrem. Try the fried rice and Detlef Schrem.
Wait, let Bridges do the ad for it.
Guys, let me tell you something. I've been all over the world, man. But when I want to eat some Asian cuisine, there's only one place for me, man. I love Arvita Sabonis. He owns a Thai restaurant in Hollywood. Oh, wait a minute. I'm getting recalled to my own commercial. This is insane, man. I paid for this commercial, man.
Oh, my God.
He's just bankrupt. Dude, you're so funny,
Rick Astley is like just a bomber.
Oh, God.
He just comes in. You don't even see him
come. Keys to the studio? This is crazy,
dude,
man.
What's crazy is, like, that's that in itself, too, like.
Great bit.
But dude, you want a sketch, or, like, some sort of, like, I don't know, 24 type series where you're Bridges and you keep getting Rickrolled and so you can't solve these mysteries?
Just randomly.
Dude, that's a recurring sketch every week.
Can I tell you, I got to plug a guy who doesn't know me, but I'm a huge fan of his. Yeah. Do you know who John Daly is?
Yeah.
On
Kroll Show.
On Kroll Show.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
He does Ticklish Cage. Have you ever seen that online?
Yes, I've seen that.
Dude, it's great. I don't know this guy.
Don't pull it up. It's all right.
Yeah.
He's hysterical. And then he does like Nicolas Cage in all these scenes. And then he keeps getting tickled.
Holy
and then he
shit.
Doesn't know who it is. And
Ticklish Cage.
Yeah.
Ticklish Cage.
He's great. And Nick Cage's impression is so funny.
Oh, so great.
But it's like that type of thing.
Please tell me you saw the sketch with Peele and Kroll as the refs. I'm going to have to show it to you. It's on this new season of Kroll Show.
Oh, I'm.
They play the NBA. Have you ever seen where he does the NBA refs and it's like they're mic'd up?
Oh, dude, and his hands on the butt, and he's like, I got nowhere to go, dude. That is
yeah,
so.
But the new
funny.
One, you see the new one with
when was it on?
With Peele. I just saw it online, but it was on. It's on the new season
of Kroll Show.
Yeah, because usually it's Kroll by himself, but this
no,
was
I know.
With Peele, and they're the two refs. So they're. I mean,
oh, maybe it was a preview because I think I've seen both episodes that have been on and
okay.
It hasn't been on yet.
Okay, maybe it's just a clip they put online.
Oh, that's funny. I like Kroll Show. It's funny.
So funny, dude.
Yeah.
Like he's like, I'm going to set Joe with that one girl over there. And he's like, nah, man, no. And he's like, he goes, foul. He goes, go step in, save her. And then he goes in and like, he's like, no, it wasn't a foul. And they're like, what? He's like, you're still in the game. And then Peele's like, I see you. Look, I'll help you out, man. I see how you like, they're
oh,
just so
funny.
Not reffing the game. And, oh, it's just brilliant.
That's so perfect. Funny. So funny.
So where can our listeners find you,
dude.
Mr. Kite?
At JBKITE is my Twitter handle and Instagram. And then,
what do you take a lot of pictures of? You're pretty active. You're active with the Twitter.
I'm better with Twitter than I am with Instagram. I try to take Instagram photos of two broke girl stuff.
Yeah, because people love that.
People do love that. And, and plus, because what we do for a living, people don't get ever to see the behind the scenes stuff.
Right.
So I think that's a really cool thing for people.
Yeah.
Sure.
But that's probably most of the stuff. Or when I travel a lot, which I do, I'll take pictures of like random stuff. And like try to, you know, come up with a joke or something about
yeah.
it.
Yeah, there you go. And so that's where they can find you. Do you have some stand-up dates coming up at all?
I'm doing Zanies. I'm pulling out my phone immediately. I'm
Chicago or Nashville?
Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
That's kind of not your home club, but I mean.
Yeah. I mean, well, not my home club, but it's the best.
Yeah.
And for me, I'm doing it in May, and I'm doing it the 15th, 16th, and 17th.
All right.
I'll be at Zanies at Chicago and Rosemont that weekend.
2014, right?
2000. What year is it?
2014, yeah.
What year is it?
2014. I'll be there. So, yeah, that's the only date I have set up, but we're setting up a ton of stuff now, so just follow me on Twitter.
Yeah, go see John live. Watch Two Broke Girls. Mondays.
Yeah. We're right now, we're on at 8:30, 7:30 Central, but I think we're moving to 8 o'clock. We just don't know yet.
Well, because How I Met Your Mother's going off the air.
Yeah, they'll be done, and we're going to replace them at that
That's
spot.
A prime slot. That was the that's Wonder great. Year slot. That was the Full House slot.
Listen, we're lucky. We're in a very good spot at CBS, and Warner Bros. Have been very kind to us, and it's great. We're having a great time.
Fantastic. Our listeners, please check him out on the road. Follow him on Twitter. Obviously, watch Two Broke Girls. Jonathan Kite, you are welcome on this show any damn time.
Yeah. You're now a friend. Second time out. You're part of the Second Timers Club. Only who's done that? Harlan Williams and Jaleel White.
I swear to you, I was going to guess Jaleel White.
He's done it three times.
Bro,
he's like a friend. You're now a friend of the show, man.
But how many times have you had Reginald Bell Johnson on?
We're still trying.
We're trying. Getting chummier with Jaleel, and I feel like there will come a point where I'm going to straight up ask him.
We either want Reginald or Waldo, Geraldo, Faldo.
Oh, I love that you pulled that out. Eddie Winslow.
Sup. Coop.
He was the highest paid under five actor that year. He was under five lines. Yes,
yeah.
Under five lines.
Oh,
under five years old. The guy's got a stash. He's got to stop taking them hormones. Them hormone pills. I love that Family Man. I love that show.
It was the best. That show, I mean, yeah, it was, also took place in Chicago, so you had to.
I loved it. And by the way, there's a photo. It's shot on the Warner lot, and right outside my dressing room is the Family Matters cast photo, I swear. And I took a picture next to it, and I was like, whoa. And then I Instagrammed. You guys forgot I was actually an original cast member on this show. People were tweeting back at me like, I don't remember you.
I was like the white villain.
You were like Sailor on the Cosby Show.
I was the young kid with the curly hair.
You were Richie?
Richie, because he was so white.
You should Photoshop your face onto that kid's face.
The hair would match.
In an intro?
Oh my.
In the intro, you know when he pulls up on the big wheel?
And that, yeah, yeah.
On the, you know what's funny? I
he
say,
turns the wheel. Like, I remember.
I did this video where I, I'll show it to you after this, where I'm auditioned for American Idol. I like spliced myself into it, and I sang the Family Matters theme song to Simon, Mark McGrath, Paula. But like I cut it up so it really people thought I was on the show, and somebody took my rendition of that and put it to the actual intro.
Yes. Wow,
it's unreal, man! It maybe is the coolest thing. Like
some
any
fan did that for
yeah.
you? Oh, that's so cool.
Any stand-up credit or acting thing I ever get will not be able to trump that.
No, fan art and like fan editing.
Yeah.
It's just cool cuz like you feel special when that
happens.
You're like, "Oh man, people
they
watch
care.
And they care."
It feels great. Nice.
And I'll tell you, the most valuable thing you could ever get from something like that is the oh god damn it.
God damn it. Am I the only guy in this town to not get Rickrolled?
Tony Danza.
How'd you know it was me? Probably because I wrote my name on your back.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.